With our special guest tonight, Shannon Taggart, as we talk about her work in the photographic realm of the paranormal world. And we're going to take your calls, too, when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back, our final hour, with Shannon Taggart as we talk about the paranormal world and her work in photographing the very strange and unusual. And we'll take your calls as well. Shannon, have you ever taken pictures of what would be called spirit pets or anything like that?
I have done some smoke scrying images where it looks like there's animal figures within the smoke. I have seen people who have say they've been photographed, being able to photograph their pets in a picture, or see them inside of orbs. The mediums I know assure me that you can speak to pets and that pet spirits do come to them sometimes to communicate with their owners.
Back to the seances in the book, Seance, Spiritualist Ritual, and the Search for Ectoplasm. How does it work? I mean, how do they tune into, you know, seances have been going on for a long time. Harry Houdini was obsessed with attending them so he could, you know, try to track down his dead mother, and he was unsuccessful. What have you witnessed so far?
My experiences have truly spanned the gamut. I've had many mysterious experiences. I've gotten direct, very, very detailed information that was personally meaningful and true through a medium. I've had those experiences. I've had readings that make no sense to me at all, that do not resonate on any level whatsoever. I've seen hilarious debacles, but also things that are completely compelling. So that's one point I should make, is that sometimes people go to a medium and they just expect the whole life and death conundrum to be answered in a 45-minute reading or a 30-minute reading, and that's really impossible. This is complicated stuff, and I don't really understand how it works, but the more you're around it, the more information you'll have to decide how you feel about it. But I really have had true experiences and ridiculous experiences.
Right. Trickery?
Sometimes I've been in situations where I question what is actually happening. Is this shamanic magic? Is this just tomfoolery? Is this something real? Yes, I've been in situations where it's really hard to tell what's going on.
Well, in the seance that I attended with producer Tom Danheiser, it's also pitch black, so you can't see anything.
Exactly.
And one of the spirits apparently knocked over a microphone pole.
Exactly. I have friends who are professional magicians who say, give me a black room and I can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to remember the history of stage magic, and that is actually plays into the history of spiritualism. There's always been a dialogue between the two. Even the device, the medium's cabinet, where the mediums sit in, that came from a show called by the Davenport brothers, who were both mediums and magicians, and would bring their cabinet on stage and would not say if they were doing magic or mediumship. They let the audience decide.
We were searched going into it. Women were not allowed to bring their purses in. Just that alone made me suspect there was something going on.
Yes, and then you know, people would say, you know, there's all different reasons behind why some mediums do that, and some of it sounds legit and some of it doesn't. I think it's situational. It sounds like you had like a bad experience.
Let's go back to the phones now. Dana's in New York. Welcome to the program, Dana. Go ahead.
Hi. My mom is a little psychic, or she's got a gift. We both do. But we lived in this old house in Syracuse, and she'd go down in the cellar, do laundry, and we had like a root cellar, and she would see a conductor, like a trolley or a train conductor man, standing in the doorway holding his watch. And this went on for about, I don't know how many years. She was always afraid to go down. I have my own gifts, and I didn't like going down there. But my dad went down when we moved, and he cleaned underneath the stairs. He pulled the wall out, and there was a picture of the same man that was standing in that corner. And once they took that stuff and got rid of it, he disappeared.
Huh.
And it was weird, you know?
How would you handle that, Shannon? How would you photograph something
like that? What do they call it? An attachment?
Yeah. In those situations, I actually had somebody I know was in a very similar situation, and she actually saw the spirit, and she pulled her camera up, and the camera froze. And it would not allow her to take a picture. And this is a story I've heard many times. When something that you see with your eyes does happen, the camera reacts in a way where it won't take the picture. I don't know. I know some spiritualists that I've spoken to believe that we're not meant to take those pictures, that the photography does something different. It can't actually photograph that. I don't know. I would love to be in a situation, though, with my camera and see what would happen.
Have you ever been in a situation, though, where you physically saw the entity or the apparition?
Yes, but it wasn't even at a seance. It was in my room once.
As just a person, huh?
Yeah, I woke up and, you know, and it's hard to tell, you know, the hypnagogic state, you know, that those moments between wake and asleep is a very bizarre time. But I opened my eyes and I saw a man in my closet, and he seemed afraid that I noticed him. And I closed my eyes, and then he was gone. So my camera wasn't, there wasn't time to grab the camera. I wish there would have been.
You never want to wake up with somebody in your closet.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
That you don't want. Let's go to Lawrence, Kansas. Chip's with us. Hi, Chip.
Good morning, George and Shannon.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I want to tell you about two photographs, just two of them, that have appeared in my family very freely. We've had quite a few, actually, but there's two in particular, but I want to ask Shannon first. If a family has abilities running through it, like everybody has a little bit of psychic ability, would they be more in tune to be able to catch something on film, do you think?
Yeah, possibly. It's if you work with it, it's like anything. If it becomes a comfortable practice for you and you experiment and actually turn it into a practice that you work with, yes.
Well, because the reason I ask is there's family members I have that have not tried to work with it but have caught incredible, unbelievable pictures. For example, my sister took a picture of one of her kids in the dining room at her house, mm-hmm. and the inside was fine, but you could see out the window. Mm-hmm. Outside the window, it looked like the neighborhood did back in the 30s. There was a car in the picture and outside the window that was from probably about the 30s. The neighbor's house across the street had a picket fence around, which was no longer there. The colors looked totally different. It was like a ripple in the fabric of time happened to be caught through the window. It was beyond bizarre.
My sister was just getting
a picture of a kid.
That's fascinating. I've never had that experience happen, but I do know, Dan Aykroyd and his family, his daughter showed me a picture that she took of her sister, and it was the exact same thing. It was like one picture was her just in front of the house, and it was normal, and then the next picture was the back of the house, the way it looked, like I think 50 years or more prior. And it's the same little girl, and it's two different frames, and it seems to show something very similar to what you're describing. And so I've heard people say that this happens in pictures. It's never happened to me. I find it fascinating.
Yeah, Danny Aykroyd's into this in a big way, isn't he?
Yeah, he's actually a fourth-generation spiritualist. And so Ghostbusters, when they use the term ectoplasm, he's referring to spiritualist practice, and I feel like many people are surprised by this fact. It seems that not a lot of people know that he was from a spiritualist family.
Oh yeah, he's deeply into this. He's been on our program before, probably be on again this year too, I think.
Yeah. He's going to write the foreword for my book.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's good.
Excellent.
Yeah. I met him over the summer in Lilydale, and we had a great conversation, and some of my work is in his collection, and yeah, he's going to do the foreword, and I'm so excited about it.
What has been and has been your favorite photograph that you've taken? Spiritual type photograph.
Oh, that's a hard one. There's many.
Which one has surprised you the most? Let me rephrase it.
Well, there's one picture that I really love a lot, and it's of a medium in England. Her name is Sharon Harvey, and I had taken some photos of her, and you know, I was using a long shutter speed, and they were interesting. But she invited me back, and she said, "Don't take any long exposures; just do short exposures because I want to see what happens." And so I said, "Okay, I will." And so then I'm trying to make the shutter go as fast as possible, and we're in her seance room, and she's in trance, and then her guide says, "I want you to take one long exposure, and I'm going to show you my face." And so I took that long exposure, and what came out was the most beautiful image of her face, which seems to split off into another and reveal itself. And now I couldn't, when you're taking a picture like that, there's no way to know what's going to happen. Once you open that shutter, it's all left up to the time and the space that you're capturing. And so for me, it was like such a wonderful, shocking experience to be directed to make a photograph and then have it actually happen. It's pretty thrilling.
Let's go to Las Vegas. JD's with us. Hi, JD. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. Our pleasure.
I've been listening to the program for quite a while. I'm a longtime fan, and I found tonight's broadcast to be really interesting. I was wondering, have you ever photographed, it's going to sound a little odd, have you ever photographed, like, any of the inner workings of, say, like, strange religious groups or cult? I came across a weird cult in Nevada that I've never heard of before. And I kind of was wondering, like, you know, do you have any experience with that? Is there any kind of story around that you could tell?
I'm sorry, I think I missed it, but what was it in Nevada? Did you say
a cult?
It was a cult. It was called the Cult of Nye, I think, or Ni.
Any weird groups or anything like that for you, Shannon?
Well, I did a project documenting voodoo ceremony in Brooklyn.
All right.
That happens like in basements here, and that was a straightforward kind of documentary project. And I was interested in seeing how their use of the trance state differed from spiritualist trance states, and that became its own other project.
But you've never attended like devil worshippers and types of things like that?
No.
Though you could.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
I'm more interested in, I'm more interested in practices that have a history and that have been, not that, I'm more interested in things that kind of go through time and are practiced and are now still being practiced, if that makes sense. The newer religions, I have not investigated.
Are you concerned at all about being attached wherever you may go, that they could, you know, latch onto you?
No, I mean, I feel protected. And when you go to a spiritualist, a circle or a seance, or even, you know, they begin by saying a prayer and protecting with white light, and then they close the circle. So that is like a classic ritual protection. And so spiritualists very much follow that rule. And also, I believe that your intention sets the protection for you too. But I believe all the circles I've been to are opened and closed. So I pay attention to that.
Jimmy in Long Beach, California, first time caller. Jimmy, go ahead.
George.
Hi, Jim.
First time caller.
Thank
Great
you.
Great show, man. I love it.
Thank you.
Miss Shannon, I got a little story for you. You might be interested in. I served in Iraq, and I was out there for quite a while. I left the Marines and went and worked for the State Department running missions for them. My job was to go to locations first and take photos and get the lay of the land before anyone really important showed up there for a meeting. They sent us all over the place. And one in particular mission that we went on was to a military base. It was an Iraqi military base. But there was Americans there, mm-hmm. as well as coalition. We were sent out to do an advance on the gallows, and these gallows were Saddam was hung. And I went out there prior to Saddam being hung at those gallows and taking photos and getting the advance, getting the lay of the land. And I had three guys taking photos. I didn't want to go in. I got sick. This is all hindsight to me. It kind of makes sense now, but you got to take into consideration I was in my 20s and didn't really know too much of the world then. So hindsight is really kicking in. My guys that were taking photos, they came back out and they hand those cameras back over to us after the mission's over. We process photos and we put together a package for other teams to look at before they go out on the mission. Just so happens the gallows, one of the cameras is absolutely full of dots, orbs. I just thought,
oh geez,
thought there was something wrong with this camera because of one out of the three.
Yeah.
Not one of those photos showed up.
Wow.
And it just so happens, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it. This is crazy. This is my own little in the back of my mind, because one of my team members was Jewish, and it was one of the biggest secrets that we ever had, because if anybody were to find out, we would have a real big problem on our hands. Mm-hmm. Just so happens it was his camera that had all the white dots.
Huh.
But in hindsight, that's my story. There must have been at least 30 photos.
Well, that's interesting. Let me ask you something, Shannon, with Jimmy. Does your belief system have anything to do with your ability to take these pictures? Somebody happens to be Jewish, or maybe, you know, spiritual, maybe a little more religious than most. Would that affect it?
I mean, possibly. It might have been, I'm thinking that he was, you know, different, and it was acknowledged that, okay, this should be kept secret, so maybe... maybe that's why it came to him. But I do believe, we know this through just regular professional photography, that people take different, I would take a picture, different picture than you would in the same situation with the same camera right next to each other. So even if you're not even trying to do anything metaphysical, like your consciousness enters into photography regardless. So yeah, I do think certain people, you know, get different results, and maybe it had the, because he was, it sounds like he was in danger there too.
A Jewish person in a Middle Eastern country,
yeah.
God knows what could happen.
Right, right. So, I mean, it makes his presence there more charged if you think about it in that way.
Shannon, for people who want more information on what you do, can they just grab it off your website?
Yes. There's a full, everything about the book is at my website, shannontaggart.com. You can see previews. You can see images. I actually am going to, for anyone who purchases the book, in this pre-sale, you'll get updates. You'll get an extended sample of the book. You get your name printed in the book as a patron. It's close to being done, so I'm trying to get it into production.
I'd rather be a patron than an apparition in the book, right?
Yes, yes. You can support and make this, you can help materialize this book into physical reality.
Okay, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment here on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with Shannon Taggart as we talk about her work, which the book is called Seance. And, of course, we will take the rest of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Shannon Taggart with us and your phone calls, our final segment here. Shannon, in terms of the spirit world, do you think we can communicate with them at a moment's notice? Or do you think you have to go through a medium? How do we do it?
That's an interesting question. I guess a medium or a spiritualist would say that we all have the natural ability to communicate with spirits. Many people don't even think about doing something like that unless they're put into a situation of extreme grief or shock. And that's why, you know, you hear a lot about visitations from loved ones right after they die, you know, during that time when the pain is so fresh. The mediums I've met have said that, you know, everybody has the ability and you can develop it. I myself have taken development classes, and I've had some experiences, but I am a complete novice. So spiritualists believe it's natural law and that we all can do it.
And is it easy or hard?
Just trying it. I mean, it's very simple exercises. You know, you get into a relaxed state, and you kind of use your mind to get a visual, and then you, instead of shutting it off or saying it's nonsense, you try to go with it and see what happens. I've only been able to ever have the experience on my end when I'm walked through an exercise with a medium. But it is an interesting experiment to try.
Have you ever had people tell you that the spirit world doesn't exist?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And how do you argue your way back on that?
I don't really try to argue because I know that these kind of experiences are something that you have to have. Nobody can ever convince you that there's a spirit world or that there's something beyond this material reality. You have to have some sort of meaningful experience yourself personally in order to even become open to these ideas. So I know I can't convince anybody through just by explaining or telling them that.
All right, let's go to Tehachapi, California. Ed's with us. Ed, you're up.
Well, good evening, George. You know, you're too humble and nice to ask for this, but I hope that a lot of the Coast listeners tonight send you some healing energy so you can get back on your feet fast.
Ah, I'm still here. Don't worry.
Yeah, you are. You aren't going anywhere. I have some interesting stories, one of which Shannon will enjoy. Back in the 1970s, I had a person, spiritual person, who was having some odd things happen with his one camera. One camera was not affected, one was. And so he came up to my Stanford laboratory at the time, and I had a psychic research laboratory at Stanford. And he wanted to be investigated. And we later became pretty good friends, but Shannon would get a kick out of, I'm going to explain the process here. So you have one camera that is affected, one that's not. One day, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was a friend of mine, called.
Oh, really?
And
that's
she
cool.
was going to be giving. Yeah, I have a lot of friends like that. And she called and asked me if I would. She knew about this guy I was doing some research with, so she was giving a big talk in Monterey, and I was up at Stanford. So I and my spiritual friend, who had the weird effects with photography, was in Carmel. So we met up in Monterey, and what she wanted, she asked me if I could bring him and see if during her talk I could get, or he, whatever, you know, the two of us could get any effects that might show her spirit guides. And I said, well, I don't know about that, but it's always a good excuse to do some more research with this guy. And because the one camera was affected, it was a little dinky Kodak Instamatic with cartridge film. I'm sure Shannon remembers those cameras.
Yes.
From a long time ago, and the other one was a little instant Canon. So I made a bar and a parallel release, shutter release, so both cameras would be on one, on a bar, on a tripod, and then you hit one shutter release and release both of them at the same time. And the reason I had to do that is because some of the photographs from the affected camera were so wild, you couldn't tell what on earth you'd just taken a picture of. So as a result of that, you'd have one reference picture from the camera that was not affected. So anyway, they're often very bizarre results. And one of the odd things that this guy could do was take pictures with the lens cap on the camera.
That's weird.
Yep. And so you could be standing in front of a couple kind of things like that. One might be you're standing in front of a bookcase and he might take a picture of you and you're semi-transparent instead of all there. And another thing might be the lens cap is on the camera and you still got a reasonably clear picture. Not like a normal picture, almost like a little bit of a veil, you know, or a gossamer cloth. But anyway, you still got a picture. So anyway, so here's where the funny part comes in that, you know, maybe you've experienced, Shannon, but while we were doing the photography there with Elizabeth, the lens cap, we were doing some experiments with the lens cap on the camera. And the tripod's there. And, of course, we're trying to be inconspicuous, but how inconspicuous can you be in a room when you're doing this kind of stuff with two cameras on a tripod and all that? So, anyway, so he's taking some pictures, and I'm writing notes, and I wasn't even I'm so used to this, it never occurred to me. So this lady very quietly comes up to my friend, and she goes, "Oh, excuse me, sir," because she was so worried for his photograph. She goes, "Excuse me, sir, but you left the lens cap on the camera." and he very politely and quietly says, "I know." And she gets the shock.
She just shakes her head, right?
Her face thinks we're absolutely crazy, and sits back down again, a little bit whiter in the face. So I don't know if Shannon's run into that kind of a situation yet or not.
That's funny, Shannon. Have you?
Yes. Where what I'm doing, people are trying to tell me.
There's nobody there. What are you taking a picture of?
Yes. Often it's happened to me. They'll try to watch me to see if I have some technique that they can learn. And it's just me and the camera.
Do you teach people how to take spiritual photos?
No, I've taught photography classes, but I guess it's just, when I'm teaching that way, I would try to tune in, make people tune into what they're interested in, and help them try to photograph, in their own way.
Right.
And I think that would relate to somebody who wanted to pursue.
Of every, let's say, 10 pictures you take, or maybe let's say 100, of every 100 pictures you take, how many might have something weird show up on them?
It depends on the situation. If I'm just working professionally and not doing anything tricky, it's very rare that I get something that comes in. It's if I'm doing something with the intention of...
1 out of 100? 5 out of 100? What would be an average? Sometimes nothing?
It varies, yeah. Sometimes it'll be a lot. Sometimes I'll shoot 2 frames and one will be good. Sometimes I'll shoot 100 and maybe there'll be one. Sometimes it's every single frame seems like something's going on. It really, there really is no
rhyme or reason.
Yeah. It has a way of working on its own.
All right, let's go east. Angel is with us in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Angel.
Hello, guys. Hello, Shannon.
Hi there.
My question for you is, have you had the opportunity to take photographs at a Spanish spiritualist event? Because it's not a seance per se like we're used to seeing on television or in the movies. Have you had that opportunity?
Strictly Spanish. Go ahead.
Well, I actually am very interested in the Puerto Rican practice of espiritismo, which is spiritualism mixed with other traditions. And I've been trying to learn more about it. And I actually... met a speaker this past year who is a practitioner and also an academic, and he did a talk about it. So yes, I'm aware that there is Spanish spiritualism, and also in Brazil, I mean, there is huge amounts of spiritism in Brazil. I mean, millions of people. It's different than American spiritualism or English spiritualism, but certainly it's comes from the same tradition. So yes, it's something I'm very interested in exploring, and I have yet to do so.
Have you ever photographed anybody performing Santorini?
No. I have not. Just the voodoo, which is different, and that was like a comparative project.
I would guess, though, during religious ceremonies, you might get some spirits in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it totally depends on the situation. You know, when I was photographing voodoo ceremonies, I ended up using flash, which is something I never do with my spiritualism photographs, and it was because it was such a different process, and it was such a different way of practicing. So I guess it depends on the situation.
Let's go to Doug in Sacramento, California. Hey, Douglas, go ahead.
Oh, hi, and hi to your guest, Shannon. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, Doug.
I worked for a health club that was built in probably about the mid-80s, and before it was there was a mortuary there, and there's lots of stories about noises and door slamming after the club closed and no one's in the club, and the manager got called out in the middle of the night one time because an alarm went off, and he walked through the club. There was nobody, but the elevator just came down by itself and things like that. But the story I want to share is about 3 years ago, one of our employees was putting up decorations after hours in one of what's now a spin room. And it used to be a bar at one time, part of the club restaurant. And now it's just a spin room, but there's some mirrors on the ceiling. And so she was taking pictures of the decorations she's put up, and she'd take a picture and then rearrange it and take a picture. And then a couple of weeks later, she was going through the picture, and there was a woman standing in the picture reflecting through the mirror. And so she was just, she knew she was alone in that room, but she took the picture down to the manager and said, "Do you recognize this person?" And the manager said, "No, who is it?" And that was the first time we've ever heard of somebody getting a picture of actually an image of somebody. And my question for your guest, you know, after this is unrelated to the story, is do you ever take film strips of things, or are they always just pictures?
Film strips.
Yeah, do you ever do movie film?
Oh, no, I've tried, and it just doesn't work for me.
It doesn't.
I was actually in a situation where the mediums really wanted me to do video, and I did, and it was just not interesting. So for me, I don't... I'm solely interested in the still image, but there are some people who do video. Yes, certainly.
Have you heard stories of security cameras capturing ghosts?
Yeah, there's lots of that stuff
on
YouTube,
gosh,
and some of it's very creepy.
There was one where there was a fatal accident. Somebody died in the car, and the car was towed to a lot. And at night, the security camera saw the tow truck guy come in and leave the car. Then you saw the object leaving the car that had been involved in the fatal accident and walking around. It was bizarre.
Yeah, there's tons of that stuff, and some of it is truly, truly spooky. And also, too, just referring to the story that the caller just told, I find it interesting that the spirit appeared in the mirror, you know, because mirrors and... you know, gazing into reflective surfaces, you know, throughout time and history has always been a magical thing. So it's interesting that the use of the mirror in that.
Let's go to Rob in Ottawa, Canada. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, hi, George Shannon. I'll be really, really quick.
Okay,
by the way, your listeners, I'll make them feel warmer. It was minus 18 Fahrenheit the other night.
Oh,
there you go.
I got down the
I have a question, Shannon. Like, when you saw your visitor at night, remember George asked you if you ever had...
Yes.
Something happened to you. And the reason I ask that is something similar happened to me. Now, you said, or you mentioned that he didn't want to see you. Not that he didn't want to see you, but he shouldn't have had been seen. Like, is this something that you concluded later? I just want you to talk a little about that, because in my experience, it took me a couple of days before I felt the same way. And I'm just wondering, how did you come to that conclusion that it was wrong for him to be seen by you? Thanks, and have a good night.
All right. Go ahead, Shan. We just have less than a minute left.
It was just an experience where when I looked at him, I felt it. I felt that he was actually surprised and as scared as I was. And it was just it was just almost like it felt telepathic, I guess. That's the only way to describe it. It wasn't even anything with a facial expression. It was just something I felt.
Shannon, give out your website, would you?
Yes, it's shannontaggart.com.
Spell it. Want to spell it?
Oh, shannontaggart.com. And you'll find lots of material there for to learn more.
Super. Shannon, thanks for being on the program. Really appreciate it. Tomorrow on our next show, Stephen Quayle joins me for a couple hours to talk about UFOs and giants, and then Gary Bates about the alien intrusion. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.